Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I got stuff for you.
Holy moly.
I need to get some snakes and release them around my house.
But I love eating people. I love eating kids.
These guys are the scientists of the supernatural, lecturers leaving lessons for inquiring laymen. They are applying the scientific method to a world that baffles science. They are the cryptids of the corn.
Every day that you open your mouth,
I know, right?
I'm more convinced that you're abducted by aliens.
No.
And it just stood up. I mean, it just like kept going and going. And she goes, what the?
These are idiots.
I was laughing reading this because I already knew how you would feel.
Idiot. What part of the story fits your balloon?
Well,
this isn't a UFO. Yeah.
But who else has big black wings and red eyes?
Batman.
Well, Mothman.
Oh, yeah, Mothman.
Well, everyone, I think we know exactly what it is. So say it all with me. It was the Sandhill Crane.
Would you try it?
No.
You wouldn't eat it?
No.
Why?
Because they're probably toxic.
There'd be a lot of poop in my pants.
Seeing a 6-foot alligator go swinging through the air and slam into a tree.
Welcome back to Cryptids of the Corn Podcast. I am the great and powerful Mr. E.
And I am Jay Clone 63.
Woo! That's my Manta Ray sound.
Oh.
And get ready for a high-flying adventure today. Now, we're taking it easy on this week's episode, so we got some fun ones for you. Before that, we get into today's meat and potatoes. We got all kinds of front-of-house stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Conferences, we got a lot of them left this year. Let's see. Monster Fest was already passed as when this comes out, but we're recording it before Monster Fest, so it was so exciting to see all of you. We had so much fun. Love hanging out with everybody.
Well, he'll do a follow-up after we
Don't worry. I'll do a Monster Fest review.
Give him a proper one.
Because it's literally in 3 days.
Yeah, it's soon.
Yeah. And I apologize to Michael Thompson. Don't know what for, but I'm sharing a room with him. So
he knows when this comes out.
Put that out there preemptively. Right. Preemptive strike.
Right.
Then it's Hocking Hills Bigfoot Fest.
Yep, we're speaking.
We're speaking at the world's biggest Bigfoot festival.
And at the first weekend of August.
Yes, and we're speaking at 1 o'clock on Saturday.
Saturday.
1 o'clock. But we'll be at the VIP dinner. We'll be there all day Friday and all day Saturday, obviously.
Okay.
But we're speaking at 1 o'clock on Saturday. Yeah, and then it's Squonkapalooza we're speaking at, which is the following weekend in Johnstown, Pennsylvania.
Yep, that'll be August 10th.
Yep. And then it's, we're not speaking again for the until our event, but before that we have... We'll be at Mothman. If anybody's coming to Mothman and wants to hang out, let us know. I think we're going to try to do bus tours. Like, we're going to take everybody in the bus. And
On
the bus. And I'm trying to get Linda to come on a couple of them.
That'd be cool.
And because I have the PA system in there, so right. She can sit in that little front seat and talk about all this stuff.
And over here, I'll say,
before that, let's see. We have Bigfoot and Bruce, Eric's event.
Yep.
I think it's the 14th.
In Dowagiac, Michigan.
Dowagiac, yeah.
Yeah.
Dowagiac? I think it's Dowagiac.
Dowagiac?
I don't think you pronounce the W.
Dowagiac.
Still pronouncing the W.
Dejack.
Anyways, yeah, come out, hang out with that one. It's going to be a lot of fun. Mothman's, and then let's see. And then our event's October 5th. If you have tickets, it's October 4th and 5th.
Our event? What are you talking about?
The Ohio Bigfoot Jamboree.
Presented by Cryptids of the Corn.
It's already grown way bigger than we were expecting.
And which is a good thing.
It's a good thing. It's just going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
We'll work out the bugs in the next couple of years.
Yeah, we'll bet that when it...
Yeah, we'll cross those bridges when we get it.
That's right.
Yeah, and then the last one of the year is Crypticon.
Crypticon, we always wrap it. Yep, wrapped every year up with Crypticon.
You can meet Wolber Sr. this year.
My dad is coming to Crypticon.
Yeah, it's going to be exciting.
Yeah.
Are we going to make him dress up as the corn hat and everything?
I think he'll do whatever. I don't think he cares.
I know, he doesn't. He just is like, yeah, whatever.
Just put whatever on him.
When he gets to meet the ancient alien guys, it's all, you know.
He's very looking forward to seeing Giorgio.
Mm-hmm. All right.
We've also got our other shows, Freaky Fauna Friday. Remember to check out Freaky Fauna Friday, hosted by your two favorite hosts here. That comes out every Friday. So you can find the link to that in the show notes below. Just subscribe and get yourself a Freaky Fauna fact every week. It's a good way to end the week. And then our other show that we produce is DW Conspiracy Shack. If you just like, you know, a show about, I guess, you know, some conspiracy theories, but more about just everyday life.
Just life.
And life in general and things that bother our friends Daniel and Wilbur that host the show. So go give them a listen on DW Conspiracy Shack. You might find something a little familiar with their with those two fellers over there.
All right. Next, merch. We got all kinds of amazing new t-shirts on the website.
Yeah.
Literally from the t-shirt design contest.
Just finished, wrapped up recently. And
yeah, and I just got all the test prints in.
In the mail.
In the mail, like literally when we were recording this like 10 minutes before. And they look awesome. I'll be rocking them at Monster Fest. It's the only thing I'm bringing to wear this weekend.
They look very good.
Yep. But yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, so check out the merch. Just go cryptsofcorn.com and under the merch tab. Yeah. Patreon. We have Patreon. Next week, I'll do all the shout-outs for the Monday episode.
Sweet.
I know there's been a lot of updates and change around and stuff in there. Patreon's updating, so I didn't want to mess with it today. But next week, we'll do all the Patreon shout-outs to all of our... It's going to be a pretty hefty list, too, so we may do it in the middle. Yeah. My last thing I have before we get into the meat and potatoes is corrections. Some of you did them correctly, and some of you didn't.
All right, let's get to it.
So, we do a lot. I do a lot of research.
Correct.
I don't sleep very much anymore.
What's sleep?
Yeah. So I'm going to mess stuff up, and that's fine. And I love it if you guys email. First one I want to talk about is Amanda emailed us, and she did it the right way. Very polite. Loved her email. The Pacific Tree Octopus episode has several corrections we're going to go over.
Okay.
But it's Washington, not Oregon, and I kept saying Oregon.
Oops.
So thank you, Amanda. Appreciate that. Just the octopus episode in general. Yes, it is an internet hoax.
Correct.
If you finish the episode, we go over that.
And talk about it pretty extensively.
Pretty extensively. A lot of people didn't understand that it was a joke. Not a joke, like the whole episode was a joke.
Right.
It was the point is that it tricked a lot of people. It made it to governance. It made it to governing bodies.
Correct.
And that was why we let it like that. And then at the end, we talk about how it's a hoax and it's used for internet literacy. And the guy that made it, all, you know, there's tons of stuff with it.
Right. So, you know, if you got a question about critiquing the episode, maybe just listen to the whole thing first.
Please, before
you share your critiques.
Before you send all the emails, just listen.
Yeah.
Next one, as I did misspeak, it's the Lazarus Pit from our Lazarus Taxon episode.
Oh, okay.
It's from Batman, not from mythology.
Okay. Same difference.
I did say it was from Batman, but I thought they pulled it from mythology. Okay. And I do know Lazarus is from the Bible. I did talk about that in the episode.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. That's pretty much it. Corrections. Like I said, if you got corrections, just write them in an email. I'm fine with it. I'll read them on here.
Actually,
don't be mean to it.
We look forward to corrections and just...
I'm wrong.
We're human. We're human.
Yep.
We're like you. We make mistakes.
So today's episode, we wanted something easy because it's get ready for Monster Fest. Got all kinds of stuff this week. Recording some amazing interviews coming up.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
So I wanted a nice, easy episode. So we're going to talk about, I found a whole bunch more manta ray sightings. Now,
like, you know, manta ray.
The
like,
translucent flying manta rays.
Oh, flying manta rays. You might want to be more specific.
If you're a long-time listener, you know what I meant. But you're right, yes. Which manta rays are one of the types of organic UFOs we talk about on the show a lot. They're the first one that got us into this.
Yeah.
The jellyfish is technically older as far as like modern cryptozoology.
Okay.
Because there's a bunch of them from like the 60s.
Right.
They're citing these guys that date back, you know, thousands of years, like all of them. But I got some really cool stuff I've never touched on with this subject before.
Wow.
Including a picture.
Ooh.
There's a picture of one.
That we've never seen before?
That I've never seen. And I know, so I'm going to imagine you've never seen.
Probably. Just it's a safe bet.
I'm going to venture out on that guess. Some of these we may have covered, but we're going to recover a little bit. And one of them, I think we only talked about in our live show.
Ooh, okay.
So I'm kind of mixing it all in. But yeah, a lot of these come from like Mysterious Universe, Reddit, Phantoms and Monsters, and a couple of the other big encounter share sites like MUFON. And stuff like that. I pulled from all over the place. But yeah, any thoughts on the manta ray UFOs before we continue?
No new thoughts coming up yet. But I'm curious about getting into more because it's been a minute since we've done it.
Yeah.
And we had some pretty extensive accounts that we both worked on a while ago. As far as digging up like a lot of accounts. Maybe not manta ray in particular, but flying creatures in general.
Yeah, the manta ray is definitely the poster child for the subject for us.
Yes, for sure, for sure. So I'm looking forward to seeing some more of those guys, the stories of them.
Yeah, and then, now you made me lose. I lost my train of thought.
Oh, my bad.
It's going to be, no, it wasn't you, I just lost it. But yeah, so our first one is called, I did have my MUFON.
There we go.
If you go to MUFON, if you want to look up more of the subject on your own, which I highly suggest, they're going to call them bioships. I don't think they're bioships, but just MUFON's objective. They believe a lot more in the nuts and bolts UFO phenomena,
right,
which is fine. But when they get these reportings of these gelatinous UFOs, they are going to call them bioships most of the time.
Okay.
I believe they are probably the creatures.
Right.
But they're being turned into MUFON, and MUFON has a very much a ship-oriented design for UFOs or UAPs. So, yeah, I just wanted to put that out there for researching terms, because we get a lot of emails asking how I research stuff and what terms I use and stuff like that.
Yeah.
If you're going to MUFON or some of the other big UFO reporting sites.
Bioships.
Yeah. So this is translucent manta ray, UAP observed over Schuylkill Haven, Pennsylvania.
Ooh.
A local police officer and their son watched fireworks display on their roof in their home. Afterwards, they both encountered a translucent manta ray-shaped object flying overhead. On July 11th, 2020, approximately 20 to 200 hours, so that's 10 o'clock.
Gotcha.
In Schuylkill Haven, Pennsylvania, my son and I were on top of the roof after observing the local fireworks show. The fireworks had ended 5-plus minutes prior to this. He was positioning his camera towards the constellation of the Big Dipper, Ursus Major, in order to photograph the comet Nuus. I noticed something moving. The object, at best, as I can describe it, was the shape of a manta ray. And as you would see, like in the ocean, its underbelly from below the creature. So they're witnessing it like it's flying overhead. He's saying it looks very similar to a manta ray-shaped creature, but like how it swims through the ocean.
Right.
The object moved quite fast from right to left, almost directly above us. My son then saw the object and turned, attempting to photograph it. I lost sight of the object maybe 3 seconds of seeing it move. But he saw the object make a turn and then backtrack towards where it came from before losing sight of it. We both described the object as almost translucent, with no visible lights at all. Either it was a flying typhoon drone to photograph the fireworks, so it was a similar size, but moving much, much faster. I am unsure if the object was 300-plus feet above us or higher or larger than a drone, though the speed tells me it was lower. Again, was not a drone of any type of aircraft. It made no noise and had no visible wings. The entire episode lasted 5 seconds.
Oh, dang. So really fast.
It moves really quick.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about this later as it comes up.
Uh-huh.
I think we have some encounters with these smaller ones. So there may be a force perspective issue.
Okay.
On this.
Because the scale of the sky and the stars.
Yes. At night.
Seeing a translucent object.
I think it may have been a lot closer
than he realized. Okay.
So that's why it looked like it was moving much faster.
Okay.
Because if he seen it, if he thought it was 300 or 400 feet above him.
Right.
You know, and it's only 50 or 60 feet above him.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big difference in speed. Mm-hmm. So a lot of these, like, we have a couple stories today where they're more like drone sized or, you know, between like seagull and man.
Okay.
Well, you know, we've talked about these guys before being the size of like Boeing's.
But, yeah, giant, size of Walmart, perhaps.
Yeah. I don't know, it was bigger than Walmart. So, yeah. What do you think of this first encounter? It's a cop, too, which I enjoy.
That's a good, I think, a good indicator for any story, having the cop back it up. Because, you know, he's risking... Unfortunately, he's risking his job, kind of.
Yeah, a lot of credibility. If you say you saw him.
Yeah, if you see a translucent giant thing flying overhead. Caught it at the right place, right time, like he was meant to see it. I don't know. That's kind of a weird coincidence, right?
Yeah, but...
But that's how it happens.
You had this talk off air. I don't think it's like a coincidence. I think there's a lot more of these things than people realize.
For sure.
Like the literal amount, I haven't gone through it yet, of what I believe were organic UFOs seen during the eclipse this year.
Oh, okay. Because everyone's looking up?
Because everybody was staring.
Yeah.
Like there was a sky snake seen in Texas.
Yep, I remember we talked about that.
It literally looked like a snake swimming through the air.
Yeah.
Like it just, like that's what it looked like.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it was because the eclipse, because a couple people said, you know, the eclipse brought all these interdimensional creatures out.
Right.
I think they're just atmospheric animals.
Already
that,
there.
That live in the atmosphere. So when everybody in the world is staring up at the atmosphere,
mm-hmm.
you happen to see these guys a little more often.
And, I mean, we just never, well, we have, we talked about it, but you never think about it, how just vast the space is above you. It's so big.
It is the, and we'll cover some of that again, you know, refresh a lot of the new. If this is your first time listening to our show, I highly suggest you go back to some of our other organic UFO episodes to really dive into it. We did one on the confessionals where we broke down the really basic level of the topic.
All of them, or all the different types.
But like, how the atmosphere and the food, like we answered a lot of those big questions on previous episodes. Yeah, so it's very interesting, but a cop seeing it, you know, good witness.
Yeah, credible. Yeah.
Small. I think it was smaller. I don't think it was, you know, I think it was probably, you know, large bird to maybe man sized.
It was just closer than
he thought. It was closer than he thought. And it's a translucent creature, so it's very hard to judge. Can you look at it? We've had him show lights by luminescent spots before, and this one didn't have any. My next one comes from, okay, I'm going to have you pronounce this. It's in Texas.
It's been a while. Okay, this is witness shaped flying ray shaped cryptid and oh dang it, Atascocita.
It sounds like an ancient whale.
I think it is.
Texas. It's in Texas.
Okay.
Yeah. So another account, and I have a couple really short accounts from Texas. Okay. So my husband and I were out grilling in our backyard on Sunday afternoon, approximately 5 p.m. a month ago, when a Pacific blue in color stingray-looking bird flew over our home.
Okay.
So I'll reread that a little slower.
Yeah.
A Pacific blue in color.
Right.
Stingray-looking bird flew over our home. Must have been 1.5 to 2 feet in length and width.
Okay.
We were actually sitting and conversing when it caught our attention. It looked down at us, but continued flying. We live in that part of Texas.
Mm-hmm.
We were in shock, and we never had seen anything like it. We both looked at each other a couple seconds later, asking what the heck was that. It disappeared into the trees, and we have not seen it since. So there's another one from this same body, or the same location. We'll get to in a minute.
Okay.
Very small.
Yeah, I know.
Blue in color.
Yep.
So do you remember, and I can't even remember, this may have been a live show exclusive. Everybody should come out to, when we start doing live shows again, should come out to some live shows.
Highly encourage it. Very fun.
Because we show like videos and stuff like that.
Mm.
So we did this in our live show. We talked about the ones in South America, the smaller guys.
Yeah, on the coast.
Aggressive.
Yes.
remember what color they were was blue.
Oh, okay.
So I kind of wonder if it's a juvenile thing. Is that they're blue in color for protection.
Yeah.
And when they get big, they just don't care because they're the size of a Boeing.
Right.
You know, yeah. Baby whales versus big whales.
Hmm. Could be.
But yeah, by size of a bird.
I was almost thinking, I just looked up that town too in this area.
Mm-hmm.
And this is when that new disc golf company got started up with those new prototype light blue disc golfs.
Manta ray shaped disc golf.
Yeah, that flap turning. And look at you when they're, yeah. So they know they don't hit anybody.
Yeah.
That company went under.
I wonder why.
Too expensive.
So the researcher that looked into this originally notes there is a large body of water. It's Lake Houston, where the similar incident took place.
This is the second account?
Yeah, we're going to talk about the second account.
Okay.
Some researchers think these are coming from the water and mm-hmm. flying over short distances. Mm-hmm. I don't personally think so.
You don't think so?
I think they're atmospheric creatures. They may lay their eggs in the water, which we've talked about.
Yeah, we have talked about that before.
And they may be emerging and coming out.
Which kind of makes sense a little bit, too.
Yeah, but I don't know if Lake Houston... I don't think they're reproducing in Lake Houston.
I guess that would be quite the transition for a lifestyle to be...
Well, I think they'd see the adults laying eggs or depositing eggs.
Right.
You know, animals that are we estimate are the size of Boeings.
Unless the eggs are, like, super tiny.
The eggs can be tiny.
Yeah.
The problem is mom isn't.
Right. But if she's big and translucent and lays them at night?
In Lake Houston, there people are going to see.
Oh, okay. But if they just drop some, like, spores from the sky.
When we talked about in Kansas, and they could be, too. But when we talked about in Kansas and stuff like that, some of those lakes that are out in the middle of nowhere, sure.
Yeah.
The ocean, sure.
Oh, wait. We did talk about this kind of, though, from a... I forget what episode it was, but we had the different types, and we found... Or the one story about the eggs, it looked like eggs all over that one lake. Was it a lake?
Raining blood. It was a river in Alaska, or no, a river in Washington.
But it was actually a bunch of eggs, right?
Yeah, they found it was eggs, but they couldn't ID the species.
Right, yeah.
So yeah, it could be like that. But they were eggs, you could see they were eggs.
Right, exactly.
They weren't like golf ball sized eggs.
No. But I wonder too if if these things start off, if they get so tiny, giant. Yeah, if they start off so small.
I could see, especially if we think they are an actual jellyfish relative.
Right, yeah. It would make sense to be born in water.
Yeah, yeah, I could see it.
Is there any species that is now currently that we know of born in water that lives its adult life in the air?
Dragonflies.
Oh, okay. There's something.
I mean, tons of insects.
Insects, so bugs mostly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense.
But we're talking about invertebrates.
Yeah, this is different. Any invertebrate.
No, it is. I'm saying it's similar. They're both invertebrates.
Oh, okay.
They have these highly transitional lifestyles.
Okay.
Horseflies are an aquatic insect.
Oh, you're right.
So I'm agreeing with you that you have a correct statement and that a lot of flying insects start their life in the water.
I guess I knew that, but as I was asking the question, didn't think about it.
Now, if we're talking like a jellyfish or something, no.
No, that's completely different.
But there are tons of freshwater jellyfish that people seem to ignore.
Absolutely, in Lake Erie.
Like, Lake Erie has its own colony of jellyfish that people, every time, I can't tell you how many times on the, Ohio biology page or whatever, somebody posts a picture like, I just seen a jellyfish in Lake Erie. And 500 comments say, no, you didn't. And then there'll be, one guy.
Actually.
There are jellyfish in Lake Erie.
Right, yeah.
Just Lake Erie's really dirty.
Right, yeah. Yes.
So it's hard to see the jellyfish.
And if you haven't listened before, if you're new, there are jellyfish in the atmosphere that we know about, that we have recorded.
Cousins. Now, because if they're new to it, I don't want to.
Okay.
There's not, we didn't catch, a football-sized jellyfish.
Well, I mean, jellyfish is the jellyfish, right?
Cousins. The same order.
That's a jellyfish, right?
Not quite. It's not like a true jellyfish.
Okay. Well, it's atmospheric jellyfish.
Yes, atmospheric creatures that are related to jellyfish.
That we have?
Yes.
Contained and observed. There we go.
So the second account of a manta ray-shaped flying creature in Texas was 2013, which is in Laredo, which is kind of like a next neighborhood over.
Yep. Laredo, maybe?
Laredo. The witness says, I was driving home to my house. It was about 1:20 p.m. when I came across a stingray with a grayish-white looking thing flying over my car, coming from the lake in Laredo, Texas, going into the golf course next to him. It was roughly 3 feet wide, maybe bigger than that, but I had to guide it, no wings, looking like a stingray, literally. It passed about 30 feet in front of my car, and I watched it for about 10 seconds. It looked as if it was swimming, but it was flying. Hmm. What could the creature be? It kind of freaked me out. I jumped on the internet as soon as I got home, and oh my gosh, I'm not the only one.
Hmm.
Yeah, so...
Yeah, you'll find that.
Yeah.
Searching
but another small one coming out of the what seems to be a body of water, which I believe is the Houston Lake also. There's a Laredo.
Like, it's huge. Big.
It's huge. It's a reservoir. They dammed up a lake to make it just massive.
I'm bigger
for water.
Lake, yeah.
Yeah, so another one, small.
Mm-hmm. Texas.
Yeah. But no, it's just an interesting thing. People are really like, that's a manta ray, or that's a stingray or a manta ray.
I was just going to say that. Do you think people can... Now, stingrays and manta ray have a different shape, right?
Roughly. And I think it may be because they're these smaller guys look more like a stingray. And manta rays are known for being absolutely humongous.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
And stingrays, I think a lot of these people have probably seen stingrays more often living in Texas.
For sure.
I mean, there's freshwater, there's androgynous stingrays that'll come up into the brackish and freshwater of the Houston area and stuff like that. So I think it's more they're calling them stingrays because they're the stingray sized.
That's what I was going to ask. You think they're conflating the two together?
And they may develop huge, like bigger wings when they get older.
Right.
If they're gelatinous or more gelatinous than we, you know, than most other creatures.
More surface area.
That if we think they're like they're gas filled, that makes sense too, to have these gas filled sacks.
Right.
Because the big ones don't move very quick a lot of the times.
Right. Yeah.
The flapping is more like steering rather than propulsion.
Like guiding your, it's falling with style.
Yes. And then the NASA made that. Remember, they made that mechanical flying.
Yeah,
manta
they
ray?
Did. Like,
it's a gas filled thing,
balloon. Basically,
wonder why.
Like a
wonder why
manta ray shaped drone balloon that they can steer. Yeah,
wonder why.
It's like it fits a certain body plan that already exists.
Like, huh? Yeah, NASA shot one down. Like, this is a really good design.
Yeah, we can use this.
Like they put the shark skin on the bottom of all the Navy vessels.
Right. Exactly.
All right. Next one is from Burnside, Texas.
Ooh.
Or not Texas, Burnside, Kentucky.
Okay.
I just had two Texas ones.
Three.
Burnside, Kentucky. Huge translucent manta ray shaped entity observed over Burnside. A Kentucky resident was driving late at night when they observed a huge translucent manta ray shaped entity flying above them. And this is the eyewitness, straight from the eyewitness. My daughter called me around 1:20 a.m. to inform me that she was in the ER with a kidney stone. She requested that I come to the hospital to take her home. She was finally past the stone, but was not given pain medication and was advised not to drive, or had been given pain medication and was advised not to drive. I picked her up from the hospital and took her home. She assured me that she would be fine, and I just wanted to sleep as she needed to go to work the next morning. I drove about 6 or 7 miles home, pulled into the driveway, and got out of my car. It was 3 a.m., I looked up to see the stars in the sky, nothing there or noting their beauty, when suddenly above me I heard a swoosh.
Ooh.
Directly above me, maybe 50 to 100 feet off the ground, looked to see something that was both beautiful and terrifying at the same time. There was a large stingray-shaped entity slowly pulsating as it flew above me. It was large as my house, which was about 200 or 2,500 square feet. I noted that I could see the stars through its body, although its outline was clearly visible. It did not fly as birds fly, but rather seemed to undulate its body along in perfect synchronization manner. My house sits about 150 feet from my neighbor's house, and its shape covered the space between the houses, so it was quite wide. So that's, once again, that Boeing size we talked about.
Mm-hmm.
As it undulated, I could see that hanging down from its back was something that looked like a tail or maybe legs held together. So almost that pterosaur-looking thing.
Mm, yeah.
We'll talk about what it could
be.
It could not be sure as it continued to move as I watched it transfixed. It made no other sounds except the initial swoosh as I looked up. I think it wanted me to see it. I felt that, and I watched it until it disappeared across the farm field and back into my neighbor's house. There was no odor of light associated with the sighting, except maybe the stars. At no time did I feel it intended to harm me, but even after it disappeared from sight, I felt frozen in amazement. I could not sleep after I went to bed, and even I was gazing upon the sky, looking for it from there on.
Mm-hmm.
So we hit a lot of the similar notes
mm-hmm.
that we've had with these sightings. The sense of awe.
Yeah, that's and like they've seen
from
a whale.
The very first guy from Kansas, and we know him, but we're not going to say his name.
Yeah. one of our first email submissions
ever
to our show.
We did the Ohio River Manta Ray. Yeah. And he was so excited because he heard a similar thing.
And it's just crazy.
Literally bled into every aspect.
Everything. Thinking back on that now.
Yeah.
Ain't that nuts?
So the sense of awe just comes with these manta ray shapes in particular.
Mm-hmm.
And I cannot tell you how many people have described it. Even one of the encounters we have coming on used the phrase, it was like watching a whale.
Right. Yep.
Where it's so big, but you don't really feel danger.
It just...
You know this creature is not out there to hurt you.
It's just, wow.
The swoosh, I kind of wonder, personally, if it was a little lower and made one big push to go up. I don't know if it noticed her and was like, I get it off the ground a little bit further.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of threw its wings just to get up maybe 20 or 30 more feet mm-hmm. off the ground. Now, we've talked about it with this thing hanging off it where it's like, I don't know if they were legs or a tail or whatever. I kind of wonder if it's like some kind of either feeding tentacles.
Right.
Or a reproductive organ.
Oh, no.
An ovipositor.
A what?
An ovipositor.
Ovipositor?
Yeah, in invertebrates.
Okay.
Which we believe these massive animals are. They have these specialized organs called ovipositors. Some of them do. And it's for, if you, like, for example, a lot of crickets lay their eggs deep in the ground.
Okay.
So they'll stick their ovipositors straight into the ground so they can lay their eggs. It's a long, hard tube on crickets.
Oh, that spits out eggs.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Even a couple fish, which are vertebrates, have ovipositors. Like deep sea snail fish lay their eggs inside of like king crab gills.
Okay.
So they like have a little ovipositor that wraps around inside the crab's shell while it's alive and lays eggs. So what if this is an ovipositor? I don't know if there's a lake nearby, and you've already kind of hit on the thing I was leading on earlier with the water laying eggs. I wonder if it was laying eggs in a lake.
And it was
that why it was so close to the ground.
The ovipositor was still out.
And it was before it retracted it.
Yeah, okay. I did not pick up on that. But. Yeah.
Well, you were talking about the lake already with and we had the babies around the lake.
I didn't even make that connection, though. Well, I obviously didn't know what an ovipositor was.
No,
so.
But, you know, laying eggs.
Yeah, exactly.
So I wonder if this witness, and it gives us a little bit more details into their biology, if we believe this could be an ovipositor.
Because
they don't have really a need for legs. I could see another thing like feeding tendrils.
Like just
like some kind of things
like
to grab.
Like casting a net.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or, you know, but we kind of think these big guys are filter feeders, which makes the most biological sense.
Right. When
animals get that big, there's really only one way to sustain you, either bulk feed like sauropods, you know, the big long neck dinosaurs, which we believe they spent pretty much every waked minute eating.
Yeah.
Because they had to, because you know, you get 80 tons, you know, you have to. Or you have filter feeders.
Yeah.
Like the baleen whales are our best example. But lead 60s is a fish that did it. You know, it's the biggest fish ever.
Right.
So I kind of wonder if she witnessed an ovipositor.
That's interesting. That would be nuts, wouldn't it?
Yeah. And Burnside does have some water around it and stuff like that. And I don't know if they were literally laying their eggs in the water or not. But we have a lot of sightings around water.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lot of sightings around, like, floods and storm systems and all kinds of stuff.
Including our very first and most famous one.
The Ohio River Manta Ray.
It was right over the water doing the figure eight formation.
Yeah. So what do you think about that one?
Very interesting. I never thought about that idea, but that's a very good idea. My initial thought was maybe it's they were just tendrils from, like, maybe a jellyfish-type atmospheric creature.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I thought. But the ovipositor is a good—
Because it fits the right size that we have of tons of these accounts. And not many people have ever witnessed anything hanging off them.
No, yeah.
So that's what makes me think it's an internal organ that they release.
And a rare occurrence that
dragonflies have a small ovipositor they use to deposit eggs in the water. Which we're making a lot of connections to dragonflies.
Yeah.
More
connections.
I don't know.
I think it's a fair enough connection to be made. You know what I mean? It's not like a wild theory at all whatsoever.
No, I mean, it makes sense for an animal, even big animals. And I kind of, that's why I wonder if the swoosh, I don't know where her house is, but there's a couple of rivers and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I kind of wonder if she's like 100 feet from the river.
And it's pushing
its way coming up.
Yeah.
Like trying to, and we've talked about it, that they seem to struggle to get back up.
Right.
And but that's why they hang around mountain ranges, so they can kind of ride the thermal vent back up.
Yep. Random question, though, but do seahorses have ovipositors?
Not really.
Okay.
Different kind of thing.
I thought so. I wasn't sure, though. I just know the males give the birth.
So, let's take a break, play an ad from our sponsor, and we'll be right back.
Welcome back to Cooking with J-Clone 77, and we're back again on a new episode with my guest chef, the Defiance Dogman.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, well, okay. Defiance Dogman, today you're preparing a special dish. What do you got for us today?
Lamb chops.
Ah, some roasted lamb chops. Oh, now, you said today you brought a secret ingredient. What was that you brought with us today? Oh, spicy Bigfoot breath. Raw garlic dust from Flavors of the Forest?
Yeah, best thing.
Ah, let me sprinkle a little bit on my lamb chop here that you prepared. Oh, my goodness. This flavor profile went from a 10 to an 11.
That means you go...
Couldn't have said it better myself, Mr. Dogman. And you can find this. You can get your own bottles of Flavors of the Forest. Raw garlic dust, spicy garlic dust, Bigfoot breath. It's all delicious and packed full of garlic, delicious flavor that you can't get anywhere else. You can get it at flavorsforest.com/corn.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ12. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ12. Terms and conditions apply.
Save big on all your back-to-school needs, all in the Kroger app. Get three-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean ground beef for $3.99 a pound with your card. Then get Oreo cookies, Chips Ahoy, or Kool-Aid jammers for $1.99 each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Oh my gosh, they crack me up every time.
I'm hungry.
Don't worry, I'm making lunch right after this.
All right, good.
This is one we've covered in our live show. The Hampton Bays encounter.
Okay. I think I remember this back from when we did our live show here.
Yes.
Right? Okay.
No, this would have been Hillbilly Horror Stories.
Oh, okay. The Middletown show?
Yeah.
Dang.
So this is, once again, this is a Phantom's Monster one. So here's how it starts. My name is Jenny, and I live in New York. I grew up on Long Island and always loved heading out the east to Montucket Projects, Brookhaven Labs. We've had a lot of experiences with the unexplained out there. I've seen the phenomena of various types of UFOs in LI science in early childhood. I stumbled across your blog writing about winged manta ray-shaped cryptids. So I had one, and here's the report. So she does an amazing job of like putting the time, the date, weather conditions. So we're going to go through how she wrote it. Date of the event is July 2006. Time was 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern time. Weather conditions, clear, bright night. The moon was very bright and large, and you could see every star as far east as you could go. A little less light pollution that you experience. Location, traveling west on Dune Road. Stopped at the jetty in Hampton Bay, New York. End of the Dune Road. My experience occurred in July 2006, right after my father had passed away. I rarely take long drives to the east end of Long Island and walk on the beaches at night. It's very peaceful and isolated. The beach in the Hampton Bays, the jetty at the end of the Dune Road, is particularly nice at night. I've been there at least 100 times and had never experienced anything out of the ordinary. I took my then-fiancé out to show him the phosphorescent shrimp that wash ashore, as they had never seen them. We parked the car and proceeded to walk to the water. The moon was very bright at night. You could also look down at the long stretch of the beach and see everything. We were alone. No other people were on the beach. No other cars were parked nearby at all. And the establishments were all closed. It's a rather remote area, aside from a few scattered private residences and a few restaurants and bars. Now, a bit about me. I'm an artist. I was raised as an open mind. I'm a healthy skeptic, and I don't scare easily. As soon as we stepped onto the beach, I had a feeling of general unease, the instinctive fear that one would expect in the presence of a predator. I chose to ignore it, occasionally peeking over my shoulder that a long, empty stretch of beach behind me was mostly focusing on the tiny, glowing shrimp beneath our feet. So yeah, they're at a bioluminescent party.
Right, yep.
And we'll talk about that bioluminescent party a little bit more. At one point, I felt the presence, and again, close or too close, or chose to ignore it, and I've dealt with it for quite a bit now for my last 30 years. I had not voiced my unease to my fiance, so he was completely unaware. About 5 to 10 minutes into our short walk, we both hunched over, his back facing the jetty, mine facing the stretch of empty beach. We started peering over my shoulder, looking up at the sky. Perplexed, he looked for a second, then looked away. At this point, I was still trying to remain or retain my composure and not look. Finally, after a few minutes, he looked over my head and yelled, "Oh my blank, what is that?" I turned to look, and then flying directly over our heads was a humongous creature I'd never seen. I will detail it the best I can. Its appearance was translucent or transparent, no real color whatsoever. No visible structures outside of the motion that indicated what it kind of looked like. Now, me, myself, as a visual artist, this is so it left a very distinct impression on me. The creature was shaped and was moving much the way a manta ray would, yet completely transparent, no color at all. I could see the stars through the thing. The only thing that allowed to see the structure was the moonlight shining somewhat around its, she had quote-unquote, exterior. Like, the shape was, like, rotating the light around it.
Right.
It was large as a standard sedan. Its wings were at least, from what I could estimate, 10 feet wide. It was flying. Its wings were moving up and down. The movement seemed familiar, like a gull swooping down and hovering on the shoreline. It was approximately 10 to 15 feet over our heads. It had no visible head or tail, no discernible limbs or appendages of any kind. Its appearance and moved exactly as a manta ray would with its central lobes or without the central lobes or tail, which are the feeding apparatuses the manta rays have at the front of their head.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
While running, we both simultaneously jerked our heads to the right in response to the glowing green light, which seemed to flash twice. It was not the light from the tower of the jetty, nor from the boat, though the water was clear. I never looked behind me. We started heading back to the dune road when we saw what can only be described as two smaller rays, which moved more like bats, flying together right from right to left over past the car. These two were translucent and had a grayish color to them. It was very strange.
Hmm.
They were flying in the direction of the beach, where the large, more transparent creature was. On the ride home, we spoke about the confusion when we were there, but didn't compare our notes or what we had seen. I told him I wanted to wait until we got home. So they waited. Before I continue, So the big creature, very about the body the size of a sedan, both wings are about 10 foot long, flying parallel with the beach.
Yep.
They noticed some flashes of green light.
Behind it, right?
Kind of off in the ocean.
Okay.
So the green light was not the main creature, was probably not the two little creatures, was not the jetty, and was not a boat.
You think it was the shrimp?
It was not the shrimp, wrong color. These shrimp were specific hatch are blue.
Okay.
We'll get to what I think it is.
Okay.
But yeah. So three different creatures, varying sizes.
Yeah.
All one thing around this shrimp bloom. So she continues, I now consider myself a well-educated believer in the supernatural paranormal phenomena and have a long-standing fascination with cryptids, but always appear everything with a healthy dose of skepticism. As soon as we arrived home, I tore the two pages out of my sketchbook, grabbed two pencils, gave one to each of my fiance, and we instructed to draw everything, you know, so they draw it together.
Yeah.
It ends up being that they were very similar, and there's a ton more to this story, but that's all we're going to cover right this second. So yeah, let's talk about what was maybe happening here.
Right. Okay.
So we've covered this in several episodes before, like with the jellyfish type or the amorphous, the living cloud more type, that like the living cloud that threw up all the gar bones.
Yeah, yeah.
Was around a feeding site, what we imagine. So all the gar was trapped.
Either trapped or probably dead
or rotting. Yeah. So it ate until it couldn't eat no more.
And spit all the bones up or scales.
And we kind of theorize that these may be skim feeders. They can come down and skim off the surface of the water to eat.
Like opportunistic skim feeders? Yeah.
Yeah, it's not their main food source. So I kind of wonder, if they stumbled upon a buffet, this giant shrimp bloom was going on. There was tons of these types of creatures. They might not have all been the same species, but similar species.
Yeah.
Were all feeding off the shrimp, and they just happened to be in the middle.
At the same time. Like, they were all feeding together, yes, on this one thing.
Yeah, the shrimp bloom. They were either skimming or whatever. You know?
Like a group of whales.
Yeah, essentially.
Yeah.
But when you see these big bait balls in the ocean, dolphins and sharks show up, and then the baleen whales are the last guys of the party, because when they show up, it's over.
It's theirs.
Yeah, well, yeah, because a couple mouthfuls, and it's done.
Gone, yeah.
So I kind of wonder if that's what they walked into. And I think the green flashing lights were communication. We believe these animals are bioluminescent. And I think they flash lights to talk to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think they were... They may have been warning that there were people on the beach or something like that. Because these are big gelatinous creatures. They're pretty soft.
Right.
They can't take a beating.
Right.
So people may be enough to really put them off. That may be why they were on this beach, particularly this night.
Gotcha.
Is there's no people.
These things can't take a beating in the 90s.
So I wonder if they could have been warning. Some of these creatures took notice to the people.
Warning or just saying
hey, there's people down there.
Right.
Or, it's time to move down the beach or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And that could have been why they seen the little guys leaving, is they took the big flashes of seriously. So the little creatures were taken off.
Oh, gotcha. Like as
away.
A warning, yeah.
Yeah, they're getting away.
And did she mention the time of day? I think she did.
Yep. It was 10 o'clock at night.
So it's dark. She had mentioned seeing the little ones that they were like a grayish color. I'm wondering too, and because the other one we talked about, they said it was like a smaller but bluish color.
Yep.
I wonder if it's all based on time of day as well.
Sure.
It's, you know, reflecting the blue sky or...
eyes too.
Absolutely.
What I would call grayish is blue to me.
Yeah, for sure.
Like the blue dogs
are
grayish.
Absolutely. I think just the way they were they're very specific. The one said it was blue. This one said silvery gray. It's probably the same thing.
Yep. So what do you think about that? Do you think they were out here hanging out feeding or?
I mean, that seems to be like the most logical guess with that. If they are like feeders, you know, feed off things like that, if they come down in the water and eat.
The other thing I have that could explain why there was a bunch of them all hanging out together was confusion.
With the lights?
Yeah. They were confusing the shrimp's bioluminescence.
With their own.
With their own. Or maybe a different food source.
Yeah.
So all these things are hanging out all confused.
Something's like when you're at an airplane, like on the tarmac, and the guys with the little glow sticks that are waving you in. Yeah. It's like the shrimp are the glow sticks, and they're the planes.
These big guys are all kind of confused what they're hanging out around.
Yeah.
Waiting for, you know, and that's why they were flashing their own lights, kind of communicating. I don't know. It's a very interesting story. And there's a lot more to it, but we've covered that one in depth.
Especially in our live shows, yeah. And with that, though, I think we haven't talked about this in a while, but making the connection to the CE5, Dr. Stephen Greer's, you know, like close encounters. If this is an element of that, the flashing lights, you know, it perhaps might be drawing in some of these atmospheric creatures. When he's out in the field flashing his lights in the sky, trying to draw in quote-unquote aliens.
Yes, because if you watch the UFOs that come in with Stephen Greer's flashing the lights, they come in just barely visible and then they leave.
Right.
So we talk about why you can't see these guys way up in the upper atmosphere. It's because you can't focus on something that small. We're talking they're normally above where jets fly pretty regularly.
Right.
You notice how small a jet is. And a jet's not transparent.
And the naked eye can only see so far.
Yep. The reason you can see the moon and the sun and the stars is because they're shining their own light.
I
get a lot of emails.
Except the moon.
It's reflecting light.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, but you know what I mean.
It's same difference.
But I get a lot of emails every time I say that.
Yeah.
Unabated, the human eye can see about 10, 11 miles.
Right.
With any kind of regularity of telling what you're looking at. You know,
right,
you can see farther than that, but it just... all kind of blends together.
Right, yeah.
But so I really wonder if he's shining these lights and they're thinking it's a food source or a mating display or communication.
Just enough to grab their attention.
And they come down far enough to where they can kind of see or sense.
Yeah.
Whether they use echolocation, which I kind of think maybe they use not echolocation, but a different interesting phenomena.
What if it's like echolocation but for smell?
I kind of think it's maybe electromagnetic.
Could be that.
Because they knock out a lot of power systems when they're around. So I kind of wonder if they're using an electromagnetic impulse, and like echolocation.
And they're using it to smell.
I don't know why you're hooked up on that. But no,
I don't know.
To see, and I kind of wonder why if that, because people describe they have almost a head, like a neck round lump.
Okay.
I kind of wonder if that's an organ.
Like an electromagnetic sensing organ, yeah, or like a shark's head?
Yeah. So they send out a pulse, and then they get it back, like echolocation with sound.
Yeah.
So I kind of wonder if that's why they knock out electronics.
Ooh. And what if it can like sense the things in the air around them, like different food sources?
It'd be all of it.
Be like kind of like a sense of smell.
Okay, well, you lost talking privileges.
I was trying to see if I could squeeze one more in.
Yeah, you did. You did. You do it again, I'll hit you.
Oh, shoot.
So the next one I found, I have no information on this thing. I want to make that very clear. It's from an old post. I'm talking like, I think 2013. So over a decade ago.
I'm trying to think like on what website?
So it was circulated, the big ones, like Phantom and Monsters and some of the other big paranormal pages at the time.
Oh, okay.
I literally have one paragraph of information about it.
Perfect.
This was a photo taken, apparently, by a Choctaw woman who was a shaman. I can't tell you her name without checking with her, and this is the guy that posted it, without checking with her, and I have my doubts she would allow me to do it anyways. She has these amazing images of these paranormal beings. And he's commenting onto a flying manta ray. I saw how similar your images were to this creature. She calls these things skyfish.
Okay.
We talked about skyfish.
Sky whales.
So I'm showing you.
We are the sky whales.
Yeah, the song.
Yeah.
I'm going to show you, and I'll post this on the Facebook.
All right, here. The big reveal.
There's the non-zoomed in version.
Ooh, okay. Let me get a closer look at this. Sorry about the mic. Wow, okay. Interesting.
Now let me show you the zoomed in version. And I'll post these on, everybody go to the Facebook page and check on your own leisure.
It looks almost underwater, doesn't it?
It looks like if I didn't know the context of the picture.
Be an underwater shrimp or something.
No, I'd call it a jellyfish or one of these gelatinous creatures. There's tons of gelatinous creatures that aren't just jellyfish.
Okay.
But no, it looks like a gelatinous manta ray flying. Yeah. And this is 2013.
Yeah, 11 years ago.
Yeah. So Photoshop was around.
For sure it was.
Nowhere the level of like stuff we have now.
I mean, it was still pretty good. It was very good back then. Like,
so I have no, and like I said, I have no information.
Yeah.
I looked and looked and looked. And besides like triple hearsay.
Yeah.
I couldn't find nothing.
Okay.
Like there was one guy that made up, made up a whole story like behind this thing.
Yeah.
I have no proof that he was anything accurate.
The only thing we can debate on this whole thing, or this whole story, is just the picture itself.
It looks really good to me.
It looks like a real photo. And I don't see
it
like...
It looks like how I would imagine them to look.
Okay.
But they're that bluish gray.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
Of all these babies that get seen, these little ones, because she said it, you know, in the picture it looks like it's maybe a couple foot long.
Yeah. It's probably smaller.
Yeah.
Like you said at the very beginning, poor perspective, it's hard.
Yeah, it's hard, but there's grass in the picture.
Is that what that is behind it?
No, below it is grass, and then there's plants.
Well, behind it, you know, as far as the picture itself.
Yeah. So it's, you know, semi-close to the ground.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's an interesting photo.
Because it looks like, before I try to research it and stuff like that, it looks how I'd imagine these things look.
Mm-hmm.
So I like it. It's just, you know.
It's interesting.
Yep.
Let's debate it. Where are we going to post this? On our Facebook?
Yeah, it'll be on the Facebook.
Okay, let's debate it on the Facebook. Maybe even in the Discord. You guys should hop in our Discord. It's very fun there.
Yeah. We got to get on Patreon to do that.
Well, of course.
Yeah. But yeah. Did you forget we're not doing a Patreon episode?
Maybe.
Yeah. All right. My next one. This is very hard for me to publicly write about. It was so, so strange. I've only told a few people because it just makes me think I'm crazy. When you tell them you saw a stingray fly over the street from one branch of a tree to another. I mean, we're in Indiana, nowhere near the ocean, for one thing. But even if we lived in the ocean, why would a stingray be flying in the trees? I love it. And that happens a lot. It's not just this person.
Yeah.
With these creatures, associating them with the ocean, I get why, because they look very aquatic. They look like stingrays and manta rays.
It's the only place you ever see them.
But that's always the first thing, like... I watched a stingray hop from tree to tree.
Yeah.
I'm not even near the ocean.
Yeah. No one's going to believe me.
It doesn't matter if you're on Daytona Beach. If you see a stingray swinging around in a tree.
That'd be pretty sweet.
Yeah.
I heard that's one of the ones that got Steve. It was one of the tree swinging.
Shut up. Lost talking privileges.
Just saying. That's why he wasn't prepared for it.
Anyways, this is what I saw on my way to work one early fall morning around 6:30 a.m. Still not all the way light out, but light enough. Plus, there were street lights up and down the way on a drive. I was coming up to a four-way stop. No cars were around, so I go. I am looking downhill, kind of, following the streets and seeing no cars. I kind of glance up a bit and see this huge stingray-looking thing fly from one side of the street, kind of like a group of trees, and it was going over the street to another group of trees. I was astonished. The only word I can think of to describe it was astonished. Never had much of a reason to use that word, but that sums it up. I was like, OMG, OMG. I started praying to the Lord, what was that thing? It was so weird. I feel like I wanted to cry. I was kind of afraid. Many emotions ran through my head from the initial astonishment. I kept asking myself, did I really see what I saw? Or am I over and over all the way to work? I kept thinking, okay, did that happen? Well, for days, I could not stop thinking about it, and I told a couple of people that they don't believe me, and I know. Well, I started to look at pictures on the internet to see what it might compare it to, and I ran across the huge manta ray picture underneath it says Devil Ray. So then I look up on the internet some things about demonic creatures / stingrays, and I come up with a whole bunch of stuff, and like water spirits, mm-hmm. and so that's what I think it really was. For one brief moment, I saw a demonic water spirit in the form of a stingray.
That's interesting thought.
Yeah, and there are, yeah.
What if water spirits, like, do travel around and jump from body to body, water?
Well, we've talked about elementals.
Yeah, what if they're moving?
Well, I wonder if air elementals are in the shape of these things. I think these are organic creatures personally, but
what if water elementals, you know, they can't move from one body of water to another unless you're following, you know, a said body of water, like river. What if one of their ways is like, all right, I'm going over to that lake, river, ocean, whatever. And the way they travel is they, you know, change their form and fly. And this is just the form our brain interprets it at. It's just like, it may not be gelatinous. It might just be a big translucent spirit thing flying through the atmosphere. I don't know.
Could be. So this was actually in...
Could be. All right, so okay, sorry.
So there's a little bit more information. This is in Richmond, Indiana, so not that far from us. They actually give the street where it happened, which is South 16th Street and East Street. But yeah, and she goes into a little bit more explanation what it looked like. She said it was grayish or gray on top, very shark-like, with a very white or light bottom. It was semi-translucent, but she could still see the color to it.
Sounds like me. Shark-like, very light or white bottom.
She never gives a good explanation of its size, because she said huge for one thing, but it jumped from treetop to treetop.
That's like the one thing it's like,
There is a river nearby. The Whitewater River is like right around the corner.
Okay.
But yeah.
Maybe this has a natural solution, actually. You know, you're in the river.
I've been given a natural solution.
I mean, even more so. Okay. Maybe it was actually a stingray.
Yes.
And it was in those, just enjoying its life in the river, and then what animal would flip it up out of the water? You know, like a...
An orca, a river orca
was floating through, like, seen that stingray, is like, not today, and flung him up in the tree, and she just happened to catch the aftermath.
So, you know, I've heard people explain paranormal phenomena that way, seriously. with like serious intentions, like, this is what happened.
Right.
It's like, no, yes, an orca, 4,000 miles upriver.
Sure.
It's more, yeah.
Sure.
My last one for today's episode brings us back. You remember Ash?
Oh, absolutely.
From Australia?
Yeah, she sent us a video.
The video, and check it out on your YouTube. Which I believe, I've argued and argued and argued with people about it. I don't care. I think it's real. I like Ash. I think she caught a really amazing phenomenon.
Was she on a Patreon episode?
No, it's on a Wednesday.
Okay.
It's on a Wednesday episode. But the video is on her YouTube. She gave us permission to use it. So I have an Australia one. My last one. Okay. From Perth. We actually have a lot of listeners in Perth.
It's one of the bigger cities, right?
Yeah. Yeah. But I see them on the website.
Okay.
So, translucent flying jellyfish from Perth. And we'll get into... I know it's a manta ray episode, but yeah. So, this took place in Perth, Australia, around 12 months ago. I'm only reporting this after seeing similar reports come in. One night, I was outside having a cigarette and looking up at the sky when something caught my eyes that flew over the stars and disrupted the light patterns. It was completely silent. It was just a coincidence that I was at the time to see it. At first, I thought it might be some sort of plane, as it was still roughly a few miles away to the east. As it got closer, the way it moved resembled that of a jellyfish would swim if it was on the horizon. It was very hard to describe, but it looked to be expanding at the front like a balloon, and then using an air to propel itself along. So almost like jet propulsion, like sucking in, pushing air.
I imagine like a squid.
Yeah, that's a good way to explain it. It was roughly 100 meters above me. I watched it for 10 minutes. After that, it was on its way out of sight. This was during a clear night in Australia. I am very familiar with aircraft as I live relatively close to the Jandakki Airport.
Something Australian.
Yeah, something Australian. And we see and hear them all the time. I'm certain it was not a machine of any kind. I yelled out for my mother-in-law, who was staying with us at the time, to come out and look. I also saw it. I filmed it on my smartphone. And being about 8 p.m. at night, it was pitch black and you could not see anything. If I had to guess, I would say that the feeling I left was some kind of creature. It moved gracefully and gliding a large, deliberate movements, like a extremely large bird would do with flapping its wings, but gliding in between flaps. It appeared to be translucent in parts, but remained the same altitude and was completely silent. So very similar to Ash. I could not remember where she lives. I know she's near the Blue Mountains. You should look up how close Perth is to the Blue Mountains.
Okay. Perth?
Yeah.
Australia to the Blue Mountains.
Yeah.
All right.
Because I know she lived near an airport as well.
Okay.
So, yeah, but she had hers in the middle of the day, and that's where she filmed it. But very interesting that it's the Australian ones seem to let you try to get a picture of them.
Yeah, it's like they almost don't care.
Well, I kind of wonder if it's just a little more open and maybe less light pollution.
That probably has something to do with that.
So you can see them from maybe a little bit more of a distance. When here in the States, it seems like you don't see them until they're right on top of you.
Right, yeah.
Because they're translucent. So there's a lot of light pollution. They just kind of disappear.
So the Blue Mountains, you said?
Yeah.
Okay, so Perth is in the southwest portion of Australia.
So is that the completely wrong side of the continent?
To the Blue Mountains?
Yeah.
Well, let me find out where the Blue Mountains are. I was just going to say that the Perth is very close to our national forest areas.
Oh, yeah, it's near one of them.
It's on that corner of Australia.
Yeah.
But let me find the Blue Mountains of Australia. Blue Mountains. Australia.
Good, right, good radio.
I know, I'm not good at typing fast. So those are on the east side.
Yep, so complete opposite side of the continent.
Yes, yes.
So yeah, but that's interesting. That's two Australian encounters, very similar, but completely opposite sides.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's what I have for manta rays. So we can kind of, do you have anything more to add?
Actually, I had a thought. I was thinking, here's another thought, another theory of what these things actually are.
Okay.
And, what if... Oh, you muted me. I didn't realize that.
I only turned you back on because you didn't realize it?
I didn't. I didn't know what you were doing. What if God created these creatures, translucent and not meant to be seen, physically, like... They're meant to go unnoticed, They're just kind of there, but they're not really... They're in our peripherals, Some people catch them, but what if their job... And they're always seen, going in a straight line... it's not like too much up and down action. It's, what if these guys are just flying over ahead and they're buffering the new, simulation? Like, they're loading the new scenes going.
I swear I thought you were going to say they're dome cleaners.
Dome. Oh, that might be another one. They're suckerfish for the dome.
The Procosmos of the dome.
Ah. What if they are? Someone's got to clean the dome to keep the sunlight coming through. No, the sun's in the dome, ain't it?
I have no idea.
I imagine
flat Earth theory has made no sense to me just because it's convoluted.
Well, that's not so much flat Earth theory; that's biblical theory.
Dome. Now you're doing the problem people do.
There's a veil, separating the heavens above, the waters above, and the waters below. It's called a dome.
So
polyurethane hydrocarbon.
It sounds like you're 50 feet away every time I meet you.
Because I am. You know when he pushes that button, I fall into a hole that's about, and Kate and Bars go over it.
All right. So, I mean, what do you really think about the manta rays?
I just told you. No, I'm just kidding. No, I think they're, I think 100% believe they're real. There's a lot of, you know, I don't know where to start, but how I feel about them. I knew about them kind of before we ever talked about it, mm-hmm. but I never paid attention to it. I never actually put it into the perspective of it being a real animal. There was just like some random videos I caught.
Bioships as well. Like,
basically,
that was
yes.
a big thing because they've been on the shows, like the alien shows talking
yeah.
about them.
Yeah.
These ships with tentacles and stuff like
weird
that.
Weird things, yeah. Just weird mentions. But like, it being a whole.
I think it was a Patreon episode we talked about the one that was probably dying in Canada because that family yes. witnessed that one that was dragging its tentacles on the ground.
Right, yeah.
And it was probably because it wasn't doing the best.
Might have got a little beat up.
And then died in somewhere in a Canadian field till it rotted away in 10 seconds.
Because we assume they do.
I mean, yeah, jellyfish. I mean, if they're gelatinous, like many creatures on Earth,
right.
they don't hold up once they die.
No, like salamander.
Yeah, and salamanders aren't even gelatinous. No. They just dissolve very fast.
Yes, but I believe in these things. I think there's something to that as far as them as a whole, what they're doing, what their niche is or their purpose is for Earth. I'm hoping in our lifetime we find that out.
I think they will, and we've talked about that. So. I really think these guys are one of the big filter feeders.
Yeah.
I think we're discovering more through our research about maybe, you know, speculative reproductive cycle. Because we have very similar little ones. I don't know if they're a separate species.
Right.
Or if they're babies.
Right.
We don't know. The ovipositor thing is, it's all speculation, right?
Good theory. It's what do we call it?
Speculative biology.
Biology, yeah.
Speculative biology.
It's nice.
So it's all speculative biology because it makes sense. Doesn't mean it's right. It just makes sense.
Wait, yes, it does make sense. But since you are now a biologist again, can you get a speculative biology degree?
Yeah, there is. Yeah.
Nice. Can I be a speculative biologist?
You can go to school for it, yes.
Do you have to be employed to be a hold on, this is funny. What if you're a biologist and I come on whatever other documentary you're on as a speculative biologist and like very credential?
Well, I think if it's... quoted, like if the quotes are around speculative or the quotes are around biologist, I think it really matters.
But I specifically just do speculative biology only.
Yeah.
I will not touch on anything actually real. You know, from a speculative
this is
expert.
Real.
Well, I know. Well,
the way
real
you posed
to science,
that.
Real to science.
I took offense to the way you posed it.
Right. Real to the science. The science. Sorry. You know what I mean. Mm-hmm. Real against the machine, what they think's real. Consider real. All right, sorry.
I think these guys are big upper atmospheric filter feeders. I think they take most of the time the niches of the whales. This constant thread of the sense of awe around them is really, really impressive.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love doing more with them. And I needed, not an easy episode, but I needed one that we could talk about freely.
It's been a while since we've done an atmospheric creature, too.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, that's what we got. Manta rays.
Yeah.
Sighting list. Part 37.
We have more coming.
There's
you wait.
I have been the great and powerful mystery.
And I've been J-Clone 63.
We'll catch you next week, guys, with some more exciting stuff.
Bye. Bye.
Hey, guys. Thank you for listening to Cryptids of the Corn Podcast. Remember, the best way to support the show is share it with a friend. But if you are craving more of the J-Clones
and more from Mr. E,
there's always extra content on Patreon
and our paid member space on CryptidsOfTheCorn.com.
We'll catch you next time with more exciting, fun, and informative information.
Bye! Bye.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on all your back-to-school needs, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean ground beef for $3.99 a pound with your card. Then get Oreo cookies, Chips Ahoy, or Kool-Aid jammers for $1.99 each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.